Hello, and welcome to show number 2549 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
And so that kind of led me to think, okay, how can I combine my passion with this need in the market where 70% of capable people with disabilities are unemployed and being degraded by this system of hiring and looking for work? And how can I also combine that with my heritage and my growing worries about the environment and health and veganism?
And what a great deal if you can combine all of those passions and still be helping other people.
We'll talk with Karina Comer, who managed to combine all of that into a thriving Scandinavian-style bakery that employs and empowers disabled workers. We'll talk with her about how she overcame blindness, navigated pastry school, and built a business rooted in accessibility, resilience, and community impact. But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Karina Comer.
My tip is a little bit about persistence and sticking to who you are. I mean, a lot of my coworkers and my manager that I hired last year, who's helping me kind of refine and be able to push forward for growth and replication, she's like, you got to narrow down your recipes. We got a few too many. You can't keep, you know, creating new things. But on the other hand, it's that creativity and that persistence for a certain vision that has gotten me here. And I'm always, you know, tweaking recipes based on changes in ingredients or, you know, things that customers bring up. And so that persistence towards something better has really gotten me to where I am and the success I've had. And so I'd say, if not persistence in general, but being true to who you are and what you believe in will get you through.
And in your case in particular, that has helped you create a successful business that's not only producing a good product, but is also helping other people who could benefit from it.
Yeah.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
IRA. Working with corporations and small businesses alike, governments and universities, visual interpreting is brought to the blind and low vision community because access is a human right. More information is at www.ira.io.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, success, success.
Let's start by meeting Karina.
Hi, my name is Karina Comer. I'm the owner of Karina's Bakery in Beaverton, Oregon, a vegan Scandinavian-style bakery that employs people who put the ability in disability.
And that's a suburb of Portland, Oregon, correct?
Correct.
So you said you employ a number of people with disabilities. Do you have one yourself?
I do. I'm legally blind with only sight out of the center of my right eye due to a brain tumor.
And do you use any navigation aids or special equipment for the blind, assistive aids?
Yeah, I have a guide dog, and as a backup or, you know, in sight spaces or something like that, I have a white cane. And then at work, I'll sometimes use a talking scale or large print and just kind of unique methods to me of how I, you know, figure out how to put enough of something and when something's done.
Many people on the show have talked about visually impaired people and blind people being problem solvers. And I guess we all do adapt to our special needs and find solutions that work for us for what we want to do. And you've certainly done that.
Thanks.
So I'm curious, you think about guide dogs as being permitted anywhere, but your business involves making food that you sell. Is the guide dog allowed inside the bakery?
He is. The health inspector wasn't thrilled with me when I opened up the shop and he saw I had a dog. And so I built a kennel into the service counter of the bakery. And so it's got a window, it's got screens on, the back side of it and a door. And so he can settle in there and be comfy and look at everybody coming in. And sometimes he comes out and greets people or will sit with somebody. And we just have to be sure to clean up afterwards. And we do the best we can and make sure people know that there is a dog on premises and why he's there, and adds a friendly aspect to our shop.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Karina's bakery, how it got started, how Karina makes it work, and the impact it has had besides providing tasty treats to its customers.
Well, Karina, before we get into the mechanics of how you actually started the bakery, maybe we can talk a little bit about your childhood and youth and how you got interested in such things.
Yeah. Well, I really came by it, honestly. I was born in Connecticut, and the first of my brain tumors was discovered when I was 9 months old. And it was an astrocytoma that was, entangled around the eye nerves and the pituitary, and it was quite aggressive, and doctors did the best they could, but had to leave a little bit of it and had to sacrifice some of my vision and hormones and such. And so that really impacted my entire life and especially my early growth. And it was a scary time for my family, but we're entrepreneurial, driven, determined lot. And that was instilled to me from a young age to just push on and figure things out. And one of the ways I figured things out and found comfort in life was through food. Unfortunately, that hasn't always been the best thing for me, as I learned when I was like four and all of a sudden I had no metabolism and it was not good. But even when I was put on strict diets and things, I found enjoyment cooking with my mom, learning the family recipes and creating our own recipes, baking things for friends, neighbors, or just because.
So it sounds like you've been baking from a very young age with your mom and your family.
For sure, yeah. My family's a very foodie family, so it's just how we express ourselves.
And you kind of referred to having some food issues. These led to some health issues, I take it, because of the way you were eating or how much you were eating?
Yeah, so without hormones due to that part of my brain being wiped out, I couldn't regulate how many calories I really needed. So I just constantly wanted food. And so I was put on like strict 500 calorie diets. And so like lunch would be like half a banana and yogurt if I was lucky. And so that while seeing, my peers scarf down, bags of chips and whole dishes of, whatever. Was super hard, and I got myself in some situations sometimes, and I still have nightmares of the doctor's office and the weight check-in and stuff like that.
So this sounded like it led to some social isolation from friends and playmates?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that came with, because I'm blind, I've always had either assistive devices or when I was, in grade school, a lot of it I'd have an aide with me to make sure I had the materials I needed. And so some of that was, I'm quote unquote special and so different. So I was isolated because of that. But yeah, some of it was how I looked and anxiety over food and things like that.
Kids can be really mean to each other. If anybody's a little bit different, you know, if you're smarter or less smart or taller or shorter or fatter or thinner, the kids find a way of making your life miserable.
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing is I, you know, poured myself into the schoolwork and became, you know, fairly smart and good grades. And so I'm sure I was hated a little bit because of that.
At some point in your life, you decided you had to get out and get a job or do something different. At what age did you start thinking, how's life going to be for me? What do I really want to do and move into starting a bakery?
Well, it's kind of funny. I've been saying I was going to open a bakery since I think I was like 5. But I think I didn't truly, I definitely didn't think it would happen when it did. I wanted to try being in the industry first and making a name for myself there and, you know, also making a name for blind people. But the industry had other ideas. First off, I spent my teenage years peddling baked goods around my neighborhood, around the shoreline, and doing bake sales to raise money for cancer patients. And that kind of opened my eyes to the business world a little bit and some of the challenges and having to hustle, of course, having to deal with cranky neighbors who didn't want me selling on the lawn because it backed up traffic. So I had to take to a tricycle and sell that way. And, you know, set up at right-of-ways, but also deliver to people if they wanted something custom and all that kind of thing. And then I'd take all the money at the end of the season and buy toys for cancer patients, bring it up to Mass General Hospital where I had gone for treatment, and get to, you know, play Mrs. Claus kind of and see all the kids light up. And that all started because when I was there in 2000 receiving treatment for recurrence of brain tumor, I got gifts from strangers, and in fact, the school next where I was staying gave me, you know, like basically loaded up the front porch with toys one day when I got home.
So this was not only your way of kind of giving back and helping other people, but also doing something you enjoyed.
Exactly, yeah.
That must have been very rewarding. You know, one of our grandsons has been in the hospital several times, and every time he's there, somebody shows up and gives him something. And even if it's a little $5 stuffed animal, it makes such a difference to his morale.
Exactly, yeah. Makes you feel like you're not alone.
So it sounds like you actually had some experience with baking, distribution, sales, etc. before opening up your bakery. I'm always amazed how many people will start a business without having any background in what they're proposing to do. And that can lead to trouble later on. But you actually came to this with some experience. So what gave you the incentive then, and what started you rolling down the path of opening up a real bakery?
So I went to pastry school at Johnson & Wales, encouraged by a chef in my high school. And that was a real eye-opener into how cutthroat the industry is and how fast-paced. It was, you know, a real good learning experience into all different kinds of pastries and techniques, but they weren't going to slow down for me. Or, you know, while I technically had accommodations on paper, that didn't really apply in the kitchen. Looking back now, if I had been a little more self-advocate, then I would have, you know, pulled the teacher aside and say, can you give me, you know, a private lesson after class? But that wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. And so I skated by on good grades with academics and certain classes. And, you know, I learned a lot. And then I went off to do an internship. And, you know, you're back down at the bottom doing dishes and doing prep work. And because I was blind, you know, they didn't really want to give me a chance at anything else. And so I was like, well, maybe that's just the internship experience. So I went and got another internship because they wouldn't give me a paying job. And it just kind of kept doing that. And it wasn't until I, after a couple of internships, got a prep job for a vegan bakery that I felt a little bit at home and felt like there was some light for me there with people that respected me, with a job I felt like I could do, doing a lot of prep and making batches of dough. But my direct coworker clearly thought I was a nobody, very slow and whatnot. And she just wanted to get everything done and hurry up and get out of there. So after that, I was like, all right, enough of this. I'm going to go get an MBA and see if I can combine that with my love of food and find something in food management.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting to me, because we've heard stories like yours before. And in particular, one was a pharmacist and one was an auto mechanic, and they had been doing the job, and then their vision failed. And their bosses said, oh, you can't do this work anymore. So they both went back to school and got training in running a business and opened their own business. And it's like, well, if no one else is going to hire me, I'm just going to open the business and run it myself. And it sounds like that's pretty much what you did.
Yeah, kind of. I tried for a year plus after getting the degree to find jobs in the industry. I must have applied for, 100 jobs and gotten interviews with 20. Meanwhile, I wanted to tell them that, by then I'd been through 3 brain tumors and lots of other challenges. And if I could get through those challenges, I could be a good part of the team. But the interview would go great, and then I'd pull out my cane to navigate to the exit, and you just feel the energy drain out.
Yeah, I think a lot of hiring managers need some more creativity.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're hearing it and taking the MBA courses about, how to build a good team and how to build innovation, and all I'm thinking is, like, I have to, innovate in minor ways, but almost every day to, interact with people here in school or get around downtown, get around obstacles. And yet people don't see it that way.
I must say, I admire your perseverance through all these difficulties. Many people would have said, well, forget it. I just give up. This is just too much of an effort to get through this all. So eventually, though, it sounds like you did persevere and opened your own bakery. How did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, I've definitely had those moments, especially, my latest brain tumor, it hit right as I was getting settled into the second year of grad school. And I was like, oh, no, we're in this rigorous program. I can't drop out, I want to graduate on time. I want to get the competitive edge in the field, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm in the middle of recovery and I'm like, oh, I can't even sit up. How the heck am I going to go on with life? But it's bred in me to keep going. I am not good at sitting still for long. And I always have all these ideas about, what I can do, what I like to do, and how I can put those together. And so I had actually interned and done a paid position creating a bakery program for a nonprofit coffee shop in Salem, Oregon, where I'd gone to school. And they had this awesome coffee program where they would take at-risk youth that they were mentoring in their other programs, and they would give them a job and train them on how to make quality coffee and what was all involved in that, and using local roasters. And yet then they were serving that with Costco muffins. And I was just like, well, this isn't right. So I found us, a space to bake everything, got the recipes, together, creating them, costing them, all of that, and trained a couple of people on how to make it. And so that kind of led me to think, okay, how can I combine my passion with this need in the market where 70% of capable people with disabilities are unemployed and being degraded by this system of hiring and looking for work? And how can I also combine that with my heritage and my growing worries about the environment and health and veganism? And in the meantime, I went to the Commission for the Blind and tried to go into the Business Enterprise Program, only to discover that I was going to basically just be an employee of their system doing what they wanted and where they wanted it. And my family saw that I was trying that, and they were like, all right, We'll give you some money to help you open your bakery, and a lot of help over the years. And it just all kind of came together at the right place, right time to make a difference. But it never gets any easier.
So this bakery, it's really grown well beyond just your corner bakery where I might walk in and ask for an 8-inch cake. You ship all over the place. How many employees do you have, and how big is the business really?
Oh, I don't know if it's that big. We do about 300,000 a year. We love to grow that really quickly. And we do ship. I'd love to increase that program. But I have 9 employees right now, and they work anywhere from 3 hours a week to 40, depending on their needs. And 6 or 7 of them have a disability, from autism to blindness and in between. And gives them a place where they feel fulfilled, feel at home, and can truly express themselves. And, you know, customers really see that.
How long has your bakery been in business?
We're actually having our 8th anniversary next week.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Once you got the investment from your parents to open up the store, what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome to get the business actually rolling?
I would say it's a combination of leadership and marketing, which were neither of the things I really, well, I guess I focused a little on the leadership managerial aspect when I opened, but I was just concerned about the logistics of getting open and, you know, the operations side of things. I was annoyed by the fact that, you know, it was taking longer than expected, which of course construction does, but the landlord promised, you know, in fact said, demanded that we had to be open by X date for this downtown event that was happening. That of course did not happen. And I'm a little in a tizzy of that, when in fact I could have been, you know, out there saying to my farmers market customers that, oh, we've moved into our brick and mortar over here, and finding ways to get customers in the door from day one, when in fact it took, you know, months. And at the same time, you know, I did train employees, of course, on the point of sale and on how to navigate the space with their limitations. Most of the people I first hired were blind people, because that's the community I knew how to reach. But I didn't, until, you know, well into it, really create a customized program on how to meet the employees' needs as well as my own. So
it sounds like your bakery has become pretty successful since you started it. What do you attribute the success to? What do you think were the most important things that made this successful?
I think our success is really about how we cater to our community, and our community gives back to us. I credit that with keeping us alive during the pandemic. It's, you know, the story we tell and the way we serve many different markets at once. So with being 100% vegan, and we've now grown to be like 90% gluten-free, as well as all soy-free and other, you know, allergies we cater to, we bring in people who've never been able to go to a bakery before with confidence. And then we have the Scandinavian side. There's a surprising amount of Scandinavians in our area who are coming to look for that nostalgia for specific items. And we just hope that they don't realize it's dairy-free until after they eat it and fall in love, because it's just as delicious. And then we cater to people with disabilities, their families, anyone who cares about that sector and wants to come in for that ray of hope and inspiration that they bring. And then just everyday people looking for the little piece of happiness and a place that when you walk in, you really feel welcome and valued, and you feel like the people who work there really want to be there. And generally speaking, that's what we provide.
Well, what a great story of having a dream and not giving up until your dream was realized. Sounds like you've done very well for yourself with this business.
Thanks.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Karina's Bakery, how to order from them, and how to contact them.
Well, Karina, if people want to find out more about your bakery and perhaps even order something from your bakery to get shipped to them, how would they do that?
You can follow what we're doing on Instagram at Karina's Bakery, as well as on Facebook at Karina's Bakery as well. And then our website is karinasbakery.com, karinasbakery.com. In the top left corner, you'll see an order now button, and you can select for shipping there to get our famous almond cake and a few other items shipped directly to you, or come visit us on Lombard in downtown Beaverton.
Is there a phone number or an email if people had questions?
Sure. Phone number is 503-339-3187. And our general email is hej@karinasbakery.com. And a lot of people wonder why hej, that means hello or hi in Swedish.
And if you check out the show notes for episode 2549, you'll find all that information in case you missed it in the audio. We hope people are making use of the show notes. There's always lots of valuable information in there. We know you can't catch it all in the audio because that goes by fast. But we have all of the contact information and resources that we always talk about in the show notes, along with some additional information.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about how artificial intelligence can power smarter and more accurate navigation tools. Navis is a navigation app that leverages the latest AI technology to help visually impaired users travel more safely and independently. We'll talk with Liam Geschwind, CEO of TouchPulse, about how the app uses satellite imagery, visual positioning, and conversational guidance to complement tools like guide dogs and white canes.
Thanks for joining us this week, and recommend Eyes on Success to a friend if you like it. And hopefully we'll catch you all next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.